Welcome to 33 Tangents, a podcast discussing a wide variety of topics from digital analytics to working remotely to current happenings in business and technology. Your hosts, Jason Thompson, John Narang, and myself, Jim Driscoll, all live in different areas of the world, but work together in the same company. Our regular day-to-day conversations often go off in various directions, and the goal of this podcast is to share our ideas and find new ways to engage with others. How's everyone doing today?
Good, good. I got my my cup of coffee in my new remote AF coffee mug.
Oh, I saw that picture yesterday. That's great.
Oh, nice. was...
Yeah. Yeah, he lost sent me this mug. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Sweet. Nice.
So are you a tea drinker over coffee or?
So I like hot drinks in general, both coffee and tea. I'll have like cups of coffee in the morning with breakfast before I go to the gym. I'll have a cup in the morning before I go to the gym, a cup when I get back. But then I like to try to limit it from there because in years past, I've started a very nasty coffee habit for me because I enjoy drinking it. But I also like the caffeine boost. So so one job, you know, they had the Keurig machine in the office and a vast array of the different pods. And I'd have a cup of coffee before I left the house. I'd then go in and proceed to have two more in the morning and potentially two more in the afternoon. I mean, I knew I had a problem when in the afternoon in November – I'm breaking out in a sweat because I've had so much coffee to drink. So my short answer is I love coffee, but I try to limit it because I just easily, you know, start a bad habit. But then, so this way tea, I can drink something warm throughout the day, especially, you know, it's colder now. I'm a fan of both. That's my long way of saying I'm a fan of both and why.
Got it. And I don't know if this is even sacrilegious, but I have to ask John, and I can't believe I haven't asked him already, but I love Thai iced tea, and I don't even know if that's a thing in Thailand.
It definitely is. Okay. Yeah, well, the problem with drinking that all the time is there's a good amount of sugar in the normal preparation of it. So you have to definitely watch that. I think just like I was going to say I'm the same way as Jim with the coffee drinking. I love coffee. I usually drink coffee pretty black because I like the taste of it as well, but I definitely have to limit it. So I'm usually coffee in the morning and then also tea later on in the afternoon or else it just gets carried away, especially since a lot of times I'm working at coffee shops. So it can easily drink too much of it. But yeah, on hot days, the Thai iced tea, Cha Yen, it's the Thai name of it. Definitely a refreshing beverage, but just gotta watch the sugar.
Maybe that's what makes there's something there. It is so good and refreshing.
Well, I now know what to bring you guys back next time I
Yes.
Yes. And I have never had it, you know. Just hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right.
I'll have to give it a try.
Excellent. Yeah. No, it can be good. Cool.
All righty. So I thought, we could pick up where we left off last week. We had a great conversation, kind of like, to kind of briefly recap, the space that we all work in right now was – either like in its infancy and vaguely defined or not really defined at all when we were starting our time in college, going to like our post high school education and then starting our careers. But here we are. So obviously, unlike other industries, we had to take a non-traditional path because there wasn't any kind of traditional path there. So you fast forward to today, let me take a step, say one more thing. So, as we were kind of talking through that, there were a couple of things that kind of came up that were like, oh, we need to kind of get into that in more detail. One of which being, for those that are really looking to get their careers off the ground and see this as an interesting space, you know, the path to get there is a bit more defined, but it's like, what advice, you know, would we give to somebody that is like looking to go into their, you know, looking at college, looking to get their career in college, looking to get their career started. And they're interested in just say like lowercase analytics in general, whether it's BI, customer analytics, web analytics, digital analytics, you know, what we do, because at this point, you know, there's going to be some form of technology obviously used, you know, they're going to be, you know, working with some kind of digital technology. What advice would we use for people that want to get involved, whether it's on the solution design side, implementation side, or analysis side of things? So that's why I thought, you know, we continue the conversation, kind of focus on that based on what we've learned.
It's such a good topic and broad topic, and I don't even know where to start. And kind of thinking now that the landscape is so much different from at least when I was graduating from high school and thinking about college, there was no sense of digital analytics or web analytics or, you know, anything like that. And not only are we starting to see higher education add these programs, but there's such a wealth of information just freely available out there that, you know, you can go in so many different directions, and a lot of it's amazingly free or fairly low priced. I think the challenge that I have, and I'm kind of going on off on a tangent, is that the free stuff, or, you know, the Lynda or other courses, is you have to really have the self-discipline to go through and make it happen. But there's so many options out there. I would say the biggest thing is being open to getting a broad set of experiences, and on the business side, it's super, super critical. There are, I've worked with a lot of really smart people in my career, especially on the BI statistical side, that could just do things with data that were unbelievable. But their lack of business acumen or knowledge really, really held them back. So I would say that those starting out in their careers and those that are wanting to really do something impactful in business, specifically in this space, having that business experience is extremely critical. And the second piece that I would add, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called the T skills model. Do you guys remember this, where the whole idea is that you have a really shallow level of knowledge and experience across a broad range of subjects, but then you have one or two where you go really, really deep. I think that's important for our field because there are so many different nuances to it. And you mentioned a few, Jim, whether it's, you know, focused on implementation or data integration or analysis or optimization. And one of the things that frustrates me is businesses expect to hire one person to do all those things, and it's just not realistic. And for people that try to be experts in all of those things, typically are pretty mediocre in all of those things. So I think it's okay to find a specialty, not ignoring the importance of having a broad set of skills, but really picking one thing that you're very interested in and going really, really deep. That's where you become very valuable.
So I'm not like a expert in the new analytics kind of curriculums in the, you know, the new, I don't know if they're majors or just certification courses. And I'm sure there's a variety of them. And I'm sure a lot of them are very, very good and well-rounded educationally. But I'd always be hesitant, I feel like, to assume someone who went through a course, no matter how good it was, and not even just an analytics course. I think there used to be kind of a inside joke in many places I worked at too, with, you know, like fresh MBA students as well, getting their first jobs in the real world. It's like almost like no matter how good the education is, or what the education is, if there's no real world experience, it's hard to really be that effective. I don't know if that's a controversial statement or not, but
no, I don't think so.
No, I mean, I've seen that many, many times, you know, throughout my career where, yeah, these folks come in, they have a piece of paper and they try to do everything by the book. But because they had, you know, and to Jason's point, you know, are lacking life experiences, they don't realize that sometimes by the book doesn't always work. So no, I mean, I would be in complete agreement with that and wouldn't think that's controversial in any way.
Yeah, and to me, it's really more of a starting point. It's a foundation or jumping off point. If I look back at what I learned in college, specifically around technical skills, not theory, but you know, I had some classes on managing Oracle databases. Like I had some very, very specific software skills classes. And it's interesting because I was having this conversation with my kids a couple weeks ago. I think from an applied perspective, like 90%, 95% of what I do, no, like 99% of what I do, I learned after college, mm-hmm. right? Like those applied things that I learned in college, it was good in that it applied to like an overall theory or framework, but I didn't leave college being able to go into any company and say, okay, I've mastered these skills and I can now go to work. It just wasn't there, and the depth wasn't there. And I don't think that was ever the point. And what I was trying to get across to my kids is that for me, the value of college or any kind of education, whether it's high school, self-paced learning after high school, is less about the applied aspect of it and more about building a framework to learn. Mm-hmm. And while there may be a few select people that can walk away from high school and already have it, most of us don't. I didn't. And I didn't even have it after college. I ended up pursuing and getting a master's degree. And a big part of that was when I graduated undergraduate, I still hadn't learned how to learn. And I knew that was the most important thing. And so I think that, you know, having specific majors and focus, it's really more of a jumping off point. So thinking back now, if I had in college exposure to Python or R or different modeling techniques for predictive analytics, that would have put me a little bit further ahead for my jumping off point. But it wouldn't have, you know, been that transformational. It just would have got me slightly ahead. So I'm hoping that's what these programs are really focused on, is being less of a, What's the right word for it? Kind of the other branch. Well, kind of the other branch of schooling where it is much more applied. So if you're going into like, you know, dental assistant or, you know, an auto mechanic, where you are learning very, very specific and critical skills for your job. If you're going the other route, it's much less about those applied skills and much more about developing a framework for learning using skills that resonate with you and interest you. It's no longer the, if a car left, you know, LA driving 50 miles an hour and another one left Kansas City, using actual frameworks and things that are interesting to you.
Yeah, I got you. And to that point, it's, you know, kind of going back to like layering the experiential piece on top of it. You know, like one of my specific recommendations is, you know, while you're in college, find a commission sales job, because I think you're going to learn a couple things there. You're going to learn, like I said, whether you're taking a specific course in, say, something that's like, you know, business analytics or something like that, they're going to, you know, teach you, here's what the book says is supposed to happen. You know, that commission sales job, you know, you're going to see, you know, with the right company, how things actually happen. But I think the other piece is it's going to teach you skills that I have found very, very useful, because I had one for about a year and a half when I was in college. And not only did I pay very well for being a college kid, there were certain skills that stick with me today. I think, you know, everybody at some point needs to learn how to sell. This way, you know, overcoming objections, understanding what people are looking for, being able to read between the lines and understand that, you know, a request that comes in, you know, someone says, I want A, you know, being able to question, do you really want A? Let's probe a little deeper, because you may not, you may think you want A, but you really need B. And I need to find out that you really need B and how to show you that you really need B.
I think that's a good point, and something that I think we don't really realize that we all are salespeople, mm-hmm. right? And if you look back on it, it's we're trying to sell people on hiring us or positioning our projects within companies. It is such a critical skill. And I just don't think there is like a single path. You know, it's really about adding these experiences and being well-rounded and learning how to learn. Like all of those kind of cliche things are true. You know, if I look back, those are the things that are really critical to what I've done in my mm-hmm. career. And I'd also say it's important to be open to change, right? If we think back through our careers, it's not a straight line, right? I mean, I started out as a software engineer and I never thought I would be in analytics, or, you know, there's so much change. I think, you know, it's important to kind of set out and start your career with a vision, but be open to what comes and be able to pivot to new things and new opportunities and not be so set in kind of your direction. I think it was in Remote or one of the podcasts by Jason Fried where he talked about the importance of planning, but how it was almost equally, if not more important, the ability to throw away the plan and build a new one. And that's something I think is critical for people starting out careers, because you think, you know, I'm going to lay out this career trajectory, and if it goes off the rails, then I failed. And, you know, it's not how it works. It's so fluid and it's hard to know what's going to happen, you know, 6 months, a year from now. Things change drastically.
Agreed.
I'd also, you know, want to, for people that want to get into analytics, I guess I first ask themselves why they want to get into analytics. It's different now, I think, for people saying that they want to do analytics versus us, because, you know, based on our own stories, I don't think any of us had a even knew what analytics was when we were, you know, subconsciously preparing ourselves for this path. So I guess I'm worried that, you know, there might be, or there probably are a lot of people who are only interested in analytics because, you know, they've seen articles or whatnot. It's a very in-demand field. It's a, you know, it can be a high-paying career path, that kind of thing. But that I would go back and say, you know, maybe that helps narrow down what your career focus should be, but it shouldn't be the only reason that you get into a certain career. So I would question, like, what specifically makes you interested in analytics? You know, is it the more technical side? Is it the more strategic side? Is it the statistical side? And I think that can help define maybe the educational or, you know, other types of courses you want to take to prepare yourself for things. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I also think I think from what we've seen too, it's, you know, it might be a lot of companies' holy grail to find an analytics generalist, but in reality, it's very rare that, you know, there's someone that's really an expert in all aspects of analytics. Or if they are, I mean, that definitely comes with experience, not someone fresh. But I don't know. I guess I would kind of pose the question a little bit deeper.
You know, so if I understand you correctly, it's basically, you know, when you're thinking this through, it's stay broad. You know, keep a broad perspective instead of saying, I want to go in and, you know, instrument analytics, or I want to go in and find deep insights. It's I want to solve problems, or I want to find answers using data that's been collected, because it can get, you know, it'll get you into the field, but then it keeps doors open to Jason's point in being able to pivot. If you look at, say, things today, you know, people who are not quite at retirement age, but they're, you know, and this is a whole other topic, but they're, you know, they're seeing jobs dry up, jobs that they specifically trained for, you know, so staying broad, especially in a field like ours that, I mean, changes so rapidly, staying broad will allow you to adjust as those changes come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I guess I would also go beyond that and just, I was saying like the, for someone that says they want to be in analytics, they should know, I think, at a deeper level why, or have some deeper interest in a kind of an aspect or a dimension of analytics. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the data science side, data visualization, whether it's the optimization side, whether it's the you know, data collection side, cleansing data. There's so many, I think, specializations or aspects of analytics that, at least for me, I feel like everyone, you know, you might be a generalist, mm-hmm. but you should be passionate about at least, you know, on at least one of those dimensions.
Yeah.
I feel like.
No, I agreed. And I think that that's what ultimately makes you much more valuable, and ultimately makes you stand out. Right. And we see it both in people and in agencies. And I think this is true for any kind of hot new trend or technology. Right now we're seeing it with analytics. So if you look around at a lot of traditional marketing agencies, they're bolting on analytics, right? Because it's the hot new thing to do. It's another revenue stream. All of a sudden we do analytics now. But what ends up happening is that they become pretty mediocre in everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's okay to specialize. And I think that that's the same for people. And that's not to say that, again, we shouldn't have a well-rounded background and broad experience across analytics, but truly the valuable ones that we've had the opportunity of working with have chosen an area to really go deep in. Again, we've kind of talked about just a few of them, but you know, is it the data sciences route? Is it implementation? Is it integrating systems together as we're, you know, building more complex marketing stacks? You know, is it the analysis piece? And people are starting to specialize now in data visualization. Is it optimization? You know, the people that choose to specialize are the ones that are really sought after. And unfortunately, the ones that are trying to just capitalize on a hot trend that say, you know, I can do it all, typically are exposed that they can't and don't end up kind of taking their career where it could have gone had they chosen to really go deep in one area and being comfortable with that. I think that's the important thing, is that, you know, it's okay. And you're comfortable with that decision of, you know, this is what I want to be really good at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, trying to get into the hot trend, you know, don't be the people that sign up for the Air Force after watching Top Gun.
Yeah. That's marketing that in as an interesting side okay. to that. I'm reading biology. Have you read it?
No, I'm just wondering what the punchline is going to be already.
Okay, by the book Biology is all about understanding why consumers buy at the brain level, and so it's a lot about using fMRI scans to understand people's likes and dislikes and motivation to buy and do things. And one of the use cases that they were talking about in the chapter that I was reading just yesterday was talking about the surge in signups to the Navy after Top Gun came out. And it was just a side comment, because the real story was about Ray-Ban sunglasses, how being featured in first Risky Business and then in Top Gun, the sale of these Ray-Ban aviator glasses just exploded, and they were kind of doing a whole fMRI study on why. But then they went down this side tangent of how after the movie, I think it was like, I don't even want to quote the statistic because I can't remember, but it was a massive increase in recruitment for the Navy after Top Gun came out.
Yeah, because every, you know, with that movie, you know, everyone kind of, yeah, everyone thought that's what signing up for the Navy, you know, or the military in general was going to be. So they went out and did it and found it was something completely different. So, you know, kind of talking about, you know, jumping on something, some kind of hot trend.
Yeah. And it's hard not to, right? And again, companies and people do it all the time. But I think if you look at those with staying power, it's they evaluate opportunities, but they don't get so easily kind of blown from thing to thing. When I was on the client side, I referred to it as the shiny object in the sand syndrome, right? That every time there was a new shiny object, we like divert 100% of our focus to figuring out what this shiny object is. We need to be behind this. And it just doesn't work. And even to like a degree, like big companies do this. So when my first job out of college was with Novell, a large producer of enterprise networking software. And this is a company that had been around for a long time, had done reasonably well from a financial standpoint. And in 1999, early 2000, when the .com trend hit and the run up to the bubble, they legally changed their name to Novell.com. Mm-hmm. Like they were chasing that whole .com thing and they were like at rebranding rather than just staying true to, you know, what their vision was and what they were trying to accomplish. It was like, oh, the .com thing's hot. We need to do .com now. And we're seeing it now with the crypto, you know, like go look on LinkedIn and do a search for, you know, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and look how many people in the past 6 months have updated their LinkedIn title or summary to say that they're an expert in this space, right? Maybe a couple of them are, but most of them are just chasing a fad. And not to say there isn't value behind it, but, you know, trying to constantly jump from one thing to another. There's one guy that I follow on LinkedIn that a few months ago, the trend was in, what the buzzword was like MarTech something or other. And he had his title as MarTech integration specialist. And then a couple of weeks ago, I saw he updated his title to cryptocurrency advisor or something. I'm like, how can you keep chasing these things? Because, you know, cryptocurrency is going to continue to be hot, but in 6 months from now, there's going to be something else that you have to jump on. And there's no way in that short of time you can really become a deep expert in anything.
It's funny you mentioned that about the crypto, because I literally was just reading before we were talking this. There was an article on CNBC about this today. Long Island Iced Tea Company is changing their name to Long Blockchain Corp to pivot to
that's crazy, to right?
In the technology behind Bitcoin, and their stock jumped 200%.
Now, I mean, was that a joke or is that
not a joke? Oh, okay, not a joke. No, this is legitimate.
Oh wow, I have to go look up that article. I mean, yeah, and you're right. There'll be something else, you know, in 6 to 9 months. And I love the term shiny object. That syndrome going after the latest thing.
Yeah. And I think it's also a good argument for people that are on the anti higher education bandwagon, and they say that why are you going to school for 4 years? Just look how fast, you know, things are changing. Look at a 4 year span that, you know, all these things 4 years ago didn't even exist. So how can you possibly train for a career? You know, it's all outdated. It's not worth it. And again, I think that that's a good argument for what I'm saying, is that it's not about, you know, training for a specific career, but, that educational path is helping you learn how to learn, which is so critical given the speed of innovation. Right. And I think, again, that plays into my argument that, that is the most important thing that I walked away, from college and starting out my career, was I have to learn how to learn because things change so quickly. And if you don't learn that, how are you ever going to keep up with the speed of innovation on all these new things that are coming out? You won't, you know, and what you'll rely on is trying to fake being part of the trend, you know, coming up with titles. And we've seen this for a long time, right? Like to the point where people mock it now on social media, where every time there's a hot new trend, everybody updates, you know, what it is they do. You know, a few years ago, it was the social media space and everyone was like a social media branding guru. And then it pivoted to something else. And now it's something else. It's, you know, how do you keep up with that if you haven't built a framework for how to learn?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that foundational piece is the most important. I definitely agree. The practical skills come, or the best way they're refined and honed is over time, like real experience. But that foundational framework does give you a good head start.
And you just mentioned something that made me think here, so I'm going to kind of throw, you know, let's go off on a little tangent here. We've become so accustomed to instant gratification, whether it's, you know, 2-day shipping, someone doesn't offer 2-day shipping, you're like, oh God, now I have to wait 5 days to get it. Right. You know, or like overnight's not free, you know, things like that. Though we have, you know, we've become, you know, accustomed to instant gratification. You know, who has seen it, you know, kind of now kind of taking shape within the, you know, within the workspace right now, you know, people, whether, and I mean, I'm not knocking on any particular group or generation, but, you know, John, like you said, you know, honing those skills over time, you know, do we also see kind of like the counter to that right now where everyone's like, okay, I have a college degree, I know everything.
I think it's hard to overcome for all of us. And I think it's not just career, it's everything. And you know, I've kind of looked around and saw some of my friends similar age, younger. The mindset is that they want everything that their parents worked a lifetime to achieve. And while I do think that there has definitely been a quickening of what can be accomplished, I also think there needs to be some reality to it, especially when you're talking about a career where the value really is in the experience and gaining knowledge. And there's two important aspects to that. And they really all are about being open to learning and knowing that it's going to come over time. I've worked with a few people early on in my career who just felt like they had arrived and they knew everything. And unfortunately, what happens is you convince yourself of that and you really start believing it. And so if you've told yourself you know, you're there, you really have no motivation to learn. And you often get stuck in a rut and really don't progress in your career. And it's hard to overcome. I know that I faced it a couple times in my career, and looking back on it, I'm like, my gosh, I was an idiot. How did I ever get to this point? And one of them was my first job out of college. I was so arrogant. I actually turned down the first offer that I got, and luckily they came back with a counter offer and I accepted it. And then looking back, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? I didn't know anything. You know, there was no way I could go in day one and start producing. I just didn't know anything. But I had convinced myself that I had. And then at another kind of pivot in my career, I had been at Omniture for almost 3 years and had convinced myself that I knew everything about analytics. And I took a job as a manager of analytics for Spark Networks, running their analytics program. And I'm like, yeah, I know this. And quickly, like 2 or 3 days in, I'm like, I'm in trouble. There is so much that I don't know. So, you know, I think that is important, you know, that, you know, being confident is one thing, but being open to constantly learning, you know, the kind of approach that I've taken is the more you know, and this is kind of a Taoist approach, the more you know, the less you understand. And as long as you go into it knowing that the more you open up, the more you'll need to learn, you're going to be okay. But if you're starting out your career, kind of saying, you know, I've arrived and I'm due everything right now, man, I think it's destined for failure. Yeah. And so I don't know what the right answer is. And I don't think there is a specific path, whether it's higher education or self-learning or starting your own thing when you're young. I think whatever path you choose, people can be highly successful. But for me, and especially those starting out their career, the most important part is just having a thirst and hunger for knowledge and building a framework to constantly be kind of gaining new knowledge and new experience, because things do change so drastically that if you don't develop that, you will quickly.
Kind of final thought would be that analytics itself is not, it should be kind of the, it's not the end all be all. It's kind of like the tool or the medium, but to really be successful, I think you have to really understand, either the larger business context, the industry context. You need to, on the technical side, I think you need to know the larger architectural piece, but it's really just putting it all together. And if you were just learning analytics in a silo, I really find it difficult to see how you could be that successful if you were completely in a vacuum. I guess I would say, although learning those skills once you have the bigger context is highly valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Agreed.
Very well said. My final thought on it is, don't focus purely on the book learning, especially as, you're moving into that, post high school education, whether it's some form of apprenticeship, a trade, college, whatever it is. Don't focus on the book learning, because experiential learning is just as valuable. Taking a part-time job where you're not just sitting there operating a register, but there's other experiences there. Take those crappy jobs. Work for the not so great bosses, so then you know what it's like when you have a really good boss. That gives you the freedom to do what you think you need to do. That's kind of my advice to folks. Cool. So I think on that note, we'll go ahead and wrap up for now. Thanks for the time again, guys. And next week we'll kind of finish off this series. We're focusing those just starting out. Let's talk a bit about those that are in an established career and are looking to make a pivot to, to move over to the analytics space. So we'll pick up again next time and talk to everybody later. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so by emailing podcast@33sticks.com or on the web at www.33sticks.com. The 33 Tangents podcast is a production of 33 Sticks.